As professor of Bible exposition, Dr. Charles Bayless is in his 22nd year of teaching here at DTS. He is a conference speaker and adjunct professor with Word of Life International at their conference centers and in their Bible Institute, both in the United States and abroad. And Dr. Bayless has been married to his wife, Sharon, for 39 years. Wonderful, Charlie. How did she do it? Just kidding. Dr. Bayless's specialty, and I know his special love, is the literary study of the books of the Bible, particularly the narrative and epistolary sections of the Bible, and how they contribute to that one biblical story that threads its way through our Bible. As a result, with his church, he's developed a series of 14 videos that actually tell the simple story of the Bible, and they are available on this website, thebiblicalstory.org, and it's free to use. And I think Dr. Bayless might want to say something about that in just a little bit. Would you welcome with me Dr. Charles Bayless?
Well, it's good to be here in summer school. 2 weeks teaching general epistles, some of my favorites. And it's good to see you here in chapel. It's like family, you know. I just stand here. It's always just like talking to your family. I enjoy it. There's nothing like Dallas Seminary. Anyway, this morning, one of the great privileges I have is that I get to study the Bible a lot. I get to write about it. I get to think about it. I get to read it in the Greek and the Hebrew. It's just really wonderful. And as you know, I teach the literary, how do we analyze epistles. And one of the things that I do, I say the Bible's really simple. It starts out with seed of the woman, seed of the serpent, and all the way through, right side, left side, good and evil, never changes. Goes all the way through the Proverbs, woman wisdom, woman folly. Gospels, Pharisees, Jesus, all the way to Revelation, Antichrist, Christ. It's real simple, right and left. And you look at this one side, and we've got these evil people. And I say, let me tell you something. These evil people are evil. Okay, there's nothing good, and they never cross the line. They're never partly good. The Pharisees never get together with Jesus, put their arm around and say, hey, don't we have a little common ground here we could work on? This is always one side and always the other. And these evil people are evil, and I've got them over here in evil. And I study them. They're always evil. There's only one problem. After I study them, they start to change. And the more I study them, they start to change. And you say, well, how did they change? They get less evil, Doc? And I say, no, they probably got more evil. The difference is they start to make sense. I start to understand what they're saying. You say, is that good, Doc? No, that's not good. That's not good. You see, I had them over here at evil, but the more I get to know them, the more they start to make sense. And that's scary. You see, even though they're unsaved, their philosophy from Satan is a philosophy that enters into our world and our head constantly. And so they start to make sense. So now I want to talk to you about the elder son. Now, the elder son is clearly evil, isn't he? We know he's evil. We're nothing like him. We don't like him. He's bad. And then, of course, I wrote on this, I said, not so fast, Elwood, because he's going to start to make sense. And that's not good. Now, so I want to talk about the lost son, the elder son today. And first thing is, I don't have time to develop the whole thing. The lost son, in studying, and I've written on it. In fact, they'll put a little overhead up here where you can actually go, and I've written an article on it. It's over. You just go to thebiblicalstory.org and press this little button called Resources. It'll take you over to this page. You'll see Luke commentary, and then go down there, and there's the lost son. So I've written a little article on how to analyze it. And really what it is, it's beautiful because you get to sit at Jesus' feet. And in a few verses, Jesus tells you the story of the Bible. You see, the lost son is the story of God's lost son, Israel. It's from Deuteronomy 31 through 9. And so Jesus has proven to the Pharisees that God is merciful. He just tells them the story of God's treatment of his lost son, Israel. Now, the elder son is the story of Jonah. You see, as the Jonah rejected the Ninevites, God's mercy, so also these Pharisees reject God's mercy to the outcasts. And so I'll let you read that article for yourself. That's got more in it and talks about these Old Testament passages. But I want to go talk about the elder son for just a second. Now, of course, you have to see the whole story. And so what we're seeing is there's this son, and both sons get the inheritance, okay? The elder son and the younger son both get the inheritance. They both get this money, material value from the father. Now, the lost son heads out, rejects the father, really spits in the father's face. He goes out here to a group of people that he thinks are going to embrace him, a bunch of Gentiles. And of course, it goes downhill pretty quick. The people he thought were going to love him didn't. And the next thing you know, he's in a pig manure pit. And the Gentiles won't even give him food because they're saving it for the pigs. Excuse me, this part always chokes me up. Because you see, this is the essence of the story. Until you get the essence of the story, it doesn't really make all that much sense. But you see, the son has nothing. He's a loser, okay? We're just going to put him over there in this category. He's a loser. He's got nothing. He's got a proper evaluation of himself. And he makes one little change in his life. And it's not that he gets any great value. He decides he's going to do one thing. He returns. And he starts for home. He says, maybe, just maybe, the father might. Maybe he'll make me a hired man. Just maybe the father give me something. So he starts off. Now, we shifted the father, and what's beautiful is the father has been scanning that horizon since the day the son left. He's been looking on that horizon. You know why he's been looking on that horizon? Because the father wants to give mercy to this son, and he's looking, maybe, just maybe, that son will show up. And the son shows up. And the father, at the possibility that this son might be coming to him and he might be able to show him mercy, he might be returning, he changes that distance between him and the son very fast. And he runs out there and he hugs this bony skeleton that's covered with manure from the kid's last residence. And the son says, I'm not worthy. I'm a loser. That's all the father needs to hear. This son's returning. You see, and that's the focus. The father has all the value. There's value nowhere else. The father has the value. And the son's returning, and the father wants to give him his value. That's all he needs to hear. And so in he comes. The celebration begins. New clothes, sandals. Now, here's where I pick it up. You see, I feel like a lost son. I feel like it all the time. You know that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Feel it all the time. You know, the world's temptations, envying, jealous. It just goes on and on. I get tired of it. And I cry out, Lord, help me. And he does. Now, here's what I picture. You see, I picture myself as a lost son, and here we are. We had a great celebration. I wake up the next morning. Clean sheets. Nice bedroom. Looking out on the father's estate. Windows open. Curtains blowing. Coffee cooking, brewing. Breakfast cooking. You can smell it. I'm going, that's pretty good. I mean, yesterday I was over in the manure pile. Today I'm here. Why am I here? Oh, the father. What kind of father is this? I spit in his face and I show up and say, I'm not worthy, and he gives me a celebration. I got to figure out. See, I'm a little bit of a plotter. And I'm sitting there saying, now how do I get this celebration again? Well, I certainly don't want to go back to the manure pile because, hey, I'd be away from the Father. I don't want that. I've got a brilliant idea. What I'll do is I'm going to stay in the house, and I'm going to go over to the Father, and I'm going to say, Father, I'm not worthy. Could you show me mercy again? Guess what he does? He does it. And then the son's going to go out and he's going to see his friends the next day, right? His friends, where you been? Well, I was in the manure pile. What happened? I came home. What brought you all this? I said, I am not worthy. And the father showed me all this. And they said, hey, we're not worthy. Do you think it might work for us? He said, I don't know, you might try it. So they go over to the father and they say, by the way, we don't have anything. We're not worthy. Show us mercy. Celebration. Everybody's in there. Bunch of unworthy people. Elder son's standing outside. He looks over there and he sees everybody celebrating with the father, having a great time. And he says, what a bunch of losers. Right. But you see, this father is unique. He isn't like any other father. We always make him like some father. He's not like any other father. You see, and the only way you see this is if you look at the elder son. And you see what the elder son is saying. Now, it's over here in Luke 15. You pick it up in verse 25. And the older son was in the field, and he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants, and he was inquiring. And the servant tells him that your brother's come, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he received it back safe and sound. But he became angry. Now, by the way, it's just like Jonah. You'll go to Jonah. Jonah became angry when God forgave Nineveh. Cain became angry. It's the same story. So the elder son, now here's what he says. He comes out. By the way, the father comes out of the house and starts begging him. See the same thing? He left the house for the younger son at the possibility maybe he's coming. He leaves the house and begs the young elder son at the possibility that this rebellious elder son might want to come in the house. Just going out of the house, begging him. Well, anyway, the elder son says, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. Now, what you have to realize is that it's set up by the lost sheep and the lost coin. It is Pharisees value material things. They identify their value with what they've done, with what they have. See, and the father values a returned sinner. See, so you know how this is all going to come out, right? You know what the elder son's going to do. He's going to look at this son, and he's going to say, let me get this straight. Let me see if I can follow you here. He says, this son takes the money that you gave him. That was his identity. Now, he didn't invest it. See, he's worried about the return on investment. He didn't invest it and just have a bad investment. He says, he spent it on harlots. It's not coming back. It's gone. And it's gone on some bad, bad stuff. He's not only ruined his reputation, he's ruined yours. And he says, oh, by the way, he says, I've been here the whole time. I never spit in your face. I took your money. I'm still got it. I'm working in the field. Look what I'm doing for you. Look what I'm doing for you. Excuse me, I'm glorifying you. All the stuff I'm doing is glorifying you. Aren't you proud of me? You see, now that son of yours, he says he spent everything, he trashed it, he trashed your reputation. Now, excuse me, but shouldn't he have to pay something back? Shouldn't he learn the value of money? Shouldn't he learn the value of ambition, of accomplishment, of being a success in life? Like me. And you reward him and give him a celebration. You see, I'm saying, okay, guess what? Elder son's starting to make a little sense, isn't he? Yeah, look what I've done. Oh, I'm a teacher. I'm a congressman. I'm a CEO. I'm a professor. Just keep naming them. I'm really good. Doesn't that glorify you, God? See, the Father leans over to that son and he says, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just don't care about it. Who do you care about? He says, I want you to come into the house. I want you to come to me. I want a gift to you. It's my character. I can't help myself. If you return to me, I'll give to you beyond anything you can think of. I'm not glorified by your stuff. You see, all value was in the Father. That's the key. Everything was in the Father, and he wants to give. You see, and why he starts making sense, yeah, we're not unsaved, but it's the same philosophy, see. We get saved, and then we start being successful. We start building up a resume. I said, aren't you proud of me, God? God says, I don't care about any of that stuff. I want you to come back. I want you to come into the house. I want you to come back to the foot of the cross. That's why the elder son starts making sense. It's because, see, too often we leave the foot of the cross. Too often we're out there saying, aren't you proud of me? Look at what I've done. Look at me. Look at this. Look at this. I'm a success. I dream big. Look what I accomplished. God says, I don't care about that. I want you to come home. I want a gift to you. I want to give my mercy. I want you to operate every day with mercy. I want you to ask me every morning when you get up, I'm not worthy. Give me mercy. Now, let me tell you what this looks like. You see, let's fast forward to what this feast really stands for that the elder son is in. See, you got to fast forward to the kingdom. See, that's the great feast. You see, in this unworthy returned sinner, and you picture this feast at the final day, and there they are. We're all sitting around the kingdom enjoying everything, food, but most of all, enjoying the Father and his son. And you look at this table, and it's a bunch of losers, unworthy people, don't deserve to be there. Oh, yeah, by the way, they're in resurrected bodies, so they're really looking good. And they're dressed in the righteousness of Christ that the Father gave them. So they're looking like, winners. Why? Because they're with the great winner of all time. And he gave them mercy. And we'll be celebrating with the Father. And we'll be looking at him and we'll be saying, there's nobody like that Father. You see, there's an old song which we sang. I used to think it was just for salvation. But I realized it isn't. We need to go back to the cross. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. This was written about the lost son, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, he's watching and waiting, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Every day, all the time, ask for his mercy. The value is in the Father through the Son, through the power of the Spirit. So I look out at this audience and I say, come on. Father's calling. Let's go back to the foot of the cross. Let's go back into the house. Come on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that you've given us in the great mercy. Lord, I pray that we will never leave the foot of the cross. And so, Lord, I ask for mercy. The people in this audience ask for mercy. Lord, Dallas Seminary asks for mercy every day. We are not worthy, but coming to the Father in Jesus Christ, we are dressed in his worthiness, and that's more than we ever need. And we will celebrate it into eternity at the great feast. in praise of his name. Amen.